We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome back to another episode of New Orleans Dot Football presented by PJ's Coffee. We got a great show for you guys today. We're going to break down all the inaction of day one for the Saints and the action for everybody else around the league, what it means for the Saints, where they're going from here, what guys we can expect them to keep, which guys we think they're going to lose, all of that and a whole lot more on today's show. If you need a new car, make sure you check out my guy, Matt Bowers, best car dealer in the whole entire galaxy. Go check him out, especially the dealership here on Veterans Memorial Boulevard. They got the Ford dealership right behind us. Go over there, get yourself a car at the best price with the best customer care, and off you'll go in your brand new ride. And off we're going to go into these terrific ads by these people that support our show. The New Orleans Dot Football Show is proudly presented by PJ's Coffee. PJ's Coffee has some of the best drinks that you can find. They have locations all over the city. They have pastries and everything else you need to get your day started. So go check them out. Are you looking for the perfect engagement ring? Look no further than Friend & Company Fine Jewelers' new engagement salon. This new area houses a wide selection of engagement rings to choose from in all cuts, sizes, and colors. Their experienced staff offer five-star customer care to help you find the perfect ring to express your love. Visit their new engagement salon today. Friend & Company Fine Jewelers, the perfect ring for the perfect moment and also for the perfect person. 7713 Maple Street between Adams and Burdett Street. 504-866-5433. Friend & Company Fine Jewelers. Check them out at friendandcompany.com. Hardhide Punch Tool Strawberry Whiskey is an 86-proof blend of aged wheat bourbon, American light whiskey, and fresh Punch Tool strawberries. Blended in New Orleans, it is not for the thin-skinned. Look for it in your favorite stores, bars, and restaurants. New Orleans Dot Football is proud to be sponsored by Firehouse Subs. Make sure you check out their location on Veterans Boulevard. All right, let's get into the show. It is now time for the lead topic presented by Friend & Company Fine Jewelers, the official jewelers of the New Orleans Saints. Your best jeweler. They got local people. They got the best prices. They got a great engagement salon. So make sure you go and check that out and get your special someone a beautiful engagement ring. And while you're there, check out their Florida Lee earrings and necklace that are on your screen. The earrings are priced at $1,100 and the necklace is $1,350. Get that for someone and celebrate the upcoming season or just your city with the beautiful pendant you see on the screen there. All right.
They got stuff for you if you want to spend like the Falcons. They got stuff for you if you want to spend like the Saints. Everything
well,
in between.
Well, no, you got to spend a little money. You got to spend something. They aren't giving stuff away. The Saints aren't spending any money yet. The NFL's legal tampering free agent window is now underway, which for all intents and purposes is the actual start of NFL free agency. The only thing that really happened with the Saints so far is that DeMario Davis signed a new deal. The Saints are basically even with the cap now. That's a two-year deal, a one-year extension on top of his 1 year that he already had, worth $17.25 million. And in the process, the Saints lower his 2024 cap number from $18.2 million to $8.9 million. And Avante Maddox, who used to play for the Eagles and got released on Thursday, visited the Saints today. He's about to be 28. He's 5'9". He's played 79% of his snaps in the slot the last 3 years. But was injured quite a bit, 13 games over the last 2 years, had a torn pectoral last season, ankle, knee, and toe injuries in 2022, 13 combined games over the last 2 years, and then they also lost Lonnie Johnson and Zach Bond. So a little bit of action, but nothing really to hang your hat on yet.
Look, this is what you claim to want if you want the Saints to embrace their current reality, that they are not supposed to go all in for this year, that they are not supposed to spend beyond their means, that they're supposed to have a soft reset while still being competitive. This is what it looks like. I'm reading through the comments, and there was someone who actually responded to a tweet saying, until the Saints front office changes their ways, they're not going to be able to be early players in free agency. And I'm like, what do you mean? Until the Saints stop spending money, they won't be able to spend money? Like, yeah, exactly. Like, what do you want? Do you want them to spend money, or do you want them to stop spending money? So this is what we thought their approach was going to be. We were told their approach was going to be, and so far it's what their approach has been. Now all it'll take is maybe one splash move to make people feel differently. But I think the Derek Carr move was kind of the outlier because it was quarterback. I think we're going to be ready for a lot more Colin Saunders, Nathan Shepherds, Jamal Williams, Foster Moreau. That's how they're going to build this team in free agency. And I think some people should be celebrating that because that seems to be what a lot of people want. A lot of people don't want them just investing further in this current team. Stay competitive, but don't ruin the future while doing it. So, you know, depending on which players they add, I feel like the gauge of the fan base is most fans want this. They don't. Do they want them going out and spending $110 million on Christian Wilkins? Kind of, yes. That's very exciting. But that's not the Saints' reality right now. And meanwhile, the DeMario deal is just like the Tyrann Mathieu deal last year. He took a pay cut in the process. So they're saving money left and right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's boring, though.
It's boring. It's boring very boring.
Boring as hell. I mean, like, when you kind of watch what Houston's doing, it's like, damn, like, this is exciting. Like, they're adding all the players. You watch what the Eagles do every year, and they get the players that everybody's excited about. And I think that's the reality where the Saints do want to exist. So they want to be able to go out, and they want to be able to get a big-name player at the beginning of free agency every single year. The problem is being able to be able to comfortably afford that, you do have to kind of dial back at some point. And that's kind of what they're doing right now. But, you know, I think everybody says they want them to dial back so they can get there, but they also want them there right now. And I'm kind of in the same boat. Like, I agree with like a more measured approach, but at the same time, like, man, I want them to sign someone that's exciting. Yeah. Like, I want something to happen that's like, oh man, like, you want something that makes you believe that the reality of your season is going to change. And the reality of the Saints season is going to have to change through coaching. Really, that's probably what it's going to end up being, is that they're going to have their draft picks. They're going to add to this core a little bit with some bargain guys or whatever, maybe even someone you've heard of. But, like, no one that's high price. The high price guys are pretty much already all gone. We're at the point that Gardner Minshew is getting a contract, so you are deep in the free agency right now. Lonnie Johnson got signed. So, like, we are deep in the free agency right now. So they are kind of probably at a point where the Saints are starting to get to a point where they can be active. And then this is the point where some of those guys that think they're middle-tier guys find out they aren't, and now their price starts to drop. So now's the time to get better deals. It's weird to already be there on the first day of this tampering period. But the reality for the Saints is that Clint Kubiak's going to have to make their offense better. Their defense is going to have to get better through, you know, their draftable people and coaching and all that stuff. And that's how they're going to be a better team. That's how they're going to have to figure it out, because there isn't a savior being signed right now. And I kind of wish there was. Like, I'm with them. Like, I wanted them to do something, but I get it. Like, I'm not beating them over the head for it. Like, it is the responsible thing to dial back. But, like, being responsible and, like, improving your credit score sucks. Like, you get the ads on IG, you see the stuff you want to buy, and it's like, man, I got to get this 620 up to 740. And, like, it sucks during that journey. Like, you can't go out. You're buying all your – like, you can't use Instacart. Like, you can't have the lavish things in life, and that's kind of where the Saints are at right now.
No, and, I mean, we talked about this a lot in recent weeks. I mean, there's a couple – it's a couple of young guys right in their prime that are about 27 years old that I thought would have been win-wins. Solve the problem now, but they can also be part of the next generation. And two of the ones I really liked were Jonathan Greenard, the defensive end for Houston, who they actually lost. And he got $19 million a year. And Robert Hunt, the guard for Miami, he got $20 million a year. It's also not a good time to be – I mean, the money is already outrageous because of the extra $30 million in space every time. It's not a good time to be – bargain shopping right now. Now, look, there's always the guy. There's the, you know, the Malcolm Jenkins deal they signed a few years ago, the Tyrann Mathieu deal they got after the draft, if I remember right, a couple years ago. So there is still possible that, like, your favorite Saints free agent signing could still come at a bargain, but the guy that's going to make you add a win to your record prediction, Maybe not.
It has to be Clint Kubiak. Like, it really does. And I have no idea if it is going to be him. You know, I have no idea if the coaches are going to make him back. Like, but that's the reality. Like, if there's an improvement over last season, it's going to have to come through improved coaching. Like, that's just – that's it. Like, that's where they're going to be going forward. So, we're going to
– I want to ask you about two things that did happen today. One, Saints-related, Avante Maddox. What we don't know if they're going to sign him, and the reason he came in for a visit, it just so happened that he got released a few days ago. I mean, if he got released 2 weeks ago, they might have brought him in for a visit. It does not mean cornerback is their number one priority, so on the first day of free agency, they visited with a cornerback. That's a little coincidental. But I don't want to read too much into it. I mean, is this preparing for life after Marshawn Lattimore? He's a slot guy. We've talked a lot about how Alante Taylor fits better outside. Is he an upgrade over Ugo Amadi in the slot? Like, what are your initial thoughts on if this does become a signing for them?
Yeah, again, not a savior by any stretch of the imagination if they do sign him. I think they will if the physicals and everything look right. There were a lot of injuries, though. I mean, and if the price is right, too, obviously you got to negotiate after that. But I think there's a want to acquire him. You know, I think if he does come here, it's not to be an outside corner. Like, it would be to play in the slot. I think that's his best position. I think I mentioned it before, like 73% of his snaps the last 2 years, last 3 years have been from the slot. And that's his best spot. He's 5'9". He's not a big guy. He can play on the outside, though, if you have an injury. So it could be depth. You know, it could be just getting a good veteran player in here to give you depth behind your guys.
And we loved all their signings that were in that category last year. I thought Isaac Yiadom, Lonnie Johnson, Ugo Amadi, some of those guys came the year earlier. They've done a pretty good job. Like we say, the pro personnel department led by Michael Parenton, they've been hitting pretty well on defensive backs that are in that range.
Yeah, but I mean, look, I mean, I think if you do get a guy like this, it does allow you. I don't think it's necessarily saying it's life after Marshawn, but it puts you in a place where you can kind of venture into that a little bit and probably feel okay with the things you have in place. Like, if you have Avante Maddox in the slot, like, that's fine. He's a good slot player. And then that allows you to put Avante back on the outside, where that's probably his most natural position. And then you have Paulson on the outside. So, yeah, I think it's definitely a possibility. Like, I wouldn't rule that out. Yeah. Like, I do think that there has to be an eye on that possibility, because from everything we've heard, that's not settled. Like, there's no surefire direction. It's maybe he stays, maybe he doesn't. I really do think it's kind of a coin flip right now. And it just kind of depends. Like, there's a lot of time between now and June, or now and even the draft. And if you can, you know, get that to thaw a little bit, maybe you find a way to keep them. And I think there's still hope that can happen. But if it doesn't happen, you don't want to be trading away a guy and then all of a sudden, who's playing the slot? Like, that's a major issue. So, yeah, I think you got to prepare for it. But, yeah, at first, I think depth. But I think it's definitely something that sets you up to where, yeah, we can do this if we want to.
And then we are going to get to what we think about the losses of Lonnie Johnson, Zach Bond in the money segment. But one other thing that stood out is the NFC South changed drastically. And if we want to throw in Baker Mayfield from the weekend, because we haven't talked about that yet, too. The Falcons get Kirk Cousins, we said recently. I mean, he was the prize of free agency. He's going to get the biggest deal of anyone in free agency. I mean, I guess that was probably the biggest deal in free agency history, right? $45 million a year to be their quarterback. We said that's probably the one that makes them the most competitive right away, makes him the scariest. We have to see how healthy he is, how long he takes to adjust there. But he didn't come cheap. He came, quick math, if Kirk Cousins and Baker Mayfield cost $30 million in their first 2 years and he's $45 million, that's, what, 133% of whatever they cost. But then the Panthers, they fortified their offensive line, but they trade away Brian Burns, who was the scariest guy probably in the division playing that position. And they also lost Frankie Louvu on that defense, so they don't feel like they're going to be that much more competitive. The Buccaneers re-sign Mike Evans and Baker Mayfield, but then they trade away Carlton Davis. So, I mean, are the Falcons the only team scaring you right now in the NFC South?
Yeah, I mean, look, if you pull up to the NFC South's house, there's a Nissan Altima, a Honda Accord, and a Chevy Malibu parked in the driveway, and there's a bike in the garage. Like, that's kind of the quarterbacks of the NFC South right now. It's crazy. Like, it is all just – it's very economical, like family cars, man. Like, it's just you're cruising like that. Look, I said it before, though. I do think that getting Cousins –
I think Kirk Cousins is like a Toyota Highlander. I think we should say, you know –
You got the luxury trim on one of those vehicles. Like, that's kind of what – he's got leather. The other one's got cloth seats. Like – That's kind of what
I was going to switch over to a Matt Bowers. You know, we got the Ford dealership behind us, but I didn't want to insult him. That's a higher, that's like an AFC West dealership.
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt. No doubt about it. Absolutely. Absolutely. And look, if you want, you know, the Kansas City dealerships, he's got those too. But look, yeah, I mean, I do think getting Cousins makes the Falcons more dangerous, though, like significantly more dangerous. They go from just a very, very bad QB situation to one where if this guy's Achilles is okay, like you have a good quarterback with a good offense and potentially a good coach. Like you have a good system there. So I like the pieces that Atlanta's actually put together. So it's definitely something that you got to keep an eye on for sure. And then, you know, Tampa paying Baker, though, I liked Baker last season. I don't know if I like Baker at the price, and I don't know if I like Baker without the offensive coordinator. So we're going to have to see on all that. I think there's a lot of, like, prove it. But them keeping Mike Evans, I think, makes his life a lot easier, too.
For sure.
But, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see Kirk Cousins without Justin Jefferson, too, at the same time. Like, having the best wide receiver in the NFL is going to make your quarterback a little bit better. And we got to see what he is without that. Because while they have playmakers there, they don't have him. And that's a guy that's a major difference maker. Like, I think Mike Thomas extended Drew's elite window for, like, years beyond what it probably would have been with just like a bunch of good receivers. You have a great receiver and it makes somebody a lot better. So yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see them him perform without him. But yeah, I think the Falcons have had a pretty solid last couple of years. I mean, there's no way around it. They're gonna be a lot more competitive than I think they were last year.
Other thing that stood out to me today league wide is we talked about it. We're going to do a whole segment on it soon after the break today. The defensive line was the Saints' top priority. And if you were a top-tier defensive lineman, you got paid, and you got paid before lunch today.
Yeah.
Not looking good for finding bargains in that market. I mean, they went. Our first-tier guys went. Our second-tier guys went. Our third-tier guys went. Marcus Davenport went on day one. Did not expect that. I thought he was the kind of week two bargain we were talking about. And this is probably a good – well, one more. Will Lutz. Will Lutz got his deal. He actually was going to Jacksonville for a minute, Denver for a minute. So our dream that they were going to sign Thomas Morstead on day one of free agency hasn't happened yet, but Will Lutz got a deal.
Do you think Jacksonville just, like, signs people because they can? Like, sometimes it just feels like they're just like, yeah, we're going to do this. Like, I never know what Jacksonville's trying to do.
They got, like, cap space every year. If you want cap space, they got it for you. But, look, I think this will probably, unless you have anything left, I also was going to talk about how much guards got paid, which I think could be a good transition into Andres Pete in the money segment here in a minute, but anything else besides that, or should we go on to the money segment and talk about what we think the guards getting paid means for Andres Pete here?
Yeah, so it's time for the money segment presented by Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. Yeah, the guards, man, they got paid. Top of the market is $20 million right now. And
there's a 20, a 19, a 17, and a 16 today.
I kind of thought that was what it was going to be. There was going to be a high cluster there, and it kind of resets the whole market. And I think it has some significance for Pete, but I also think you have to look at their roster right now. And I'm not trying to, like, sell anything to anybody. Sorry about my phone going off. I'm not trying to sell anything to anybody here. But I do think when you look at the Saints' interior guard spending and their center spending, and it's $11 million and, like, $12 million versus $20 million, it feels like they timed those deals right. And Cesar Ruiz kind of being half the price of the best guards in the league kind of feels like the right market value. I kind of feel like it's commiserate with what you're kind of getting out of that. I would rather spend $18, $19, $20 million on a different position myself. I'd rather invest there and then draft my guards. You know, I think that's always probably a better way to go if that's what it's costing. But yeah, that's where the league's going. The cap's going up. I don't know. Maybe it's time to kind of reset how we look at some of these positional values. But I remember, like, wide receivers getting the $20 million a couple of years ago was like a thing. And now the guards are there. Like, it's just kind of crazy how everything's blowing up.
I think this is the new reality, and I don't think it's ever going to change again for the NFL. So we just put up this list Brandon Edwin put together for us today. This is the Saints free agents, and we think, all right, these guys aren't going to break the bank if they want any of them back. We think Michael Thomas is going to leave. Not sure about Jameis Winston. I know he wants to explore a better opportunity, but we'll see how the market plays out there. Andres Pete, the one that they probably want back most, Ike Yiadom. Second one they probably want back most. Dak Bond already gone. Lonnie Johnson already gone, among others. But do we just need to, like, add $5 million to our projected cost of every guy? Because that's just, like, the inflation is incredible around the NFL right now. So let's start with Pete real quick. I mean, they're not upgrading at offensive line and free agency. I mean, some of those guys we talked about, you know, I thought, would Robert Hunt cost $12 million? He cost $20 million. So, I mean, is it imperative that they bring Pete back, you think? And is it going to be over $10 million instead of under $10
million? No, I'm not paying him over $10 million. I think you're going to hit a point here where there's the top of the market, and I think he's going to be one of them people that kind of feels like he's going to go out, he's going to test the market. There's going to be that middle tier, and then the middle tier always ends up kind of getting squeezed down a little bit. Like the guys that are on the bottom of that middle tier, it's just you kind of get to that point, and those are often the guys that take a little bit of time to come back, and it feels like we're already – like if this was like 2017, it feels like we're on day six of free agency right now. It just happens so fast now. And you know, I think he's somebody that could end up coming back. I think that's what's going to happen with a lot of their free agents, the guys we're seeing here. They're going to go out. They're going to test the market. They're going to find out there isn't a market, and then they're going to end up coming back. You know, I don't think there's – as far as all the guys on this list, I think the door is open probably to all of them potentially, but I don't see Mike Thomas coming back really under any circumstance.
Zach Bond leaves. We haven't seen any numbers reported on his deal yet. The fact that he signed on day one of free agency makes me feel like he got paid. And we always thought the Saints would have a number they weren't going to exceed on him because they just weren't using him. So this is like Groundhog Day, deja vu with Caden Ellis last year. Another team, I think, just has a better vision for him, and they're probably willing to pay more for that. And Lonnie Johnson was very, very public about who knew he was going to be 3 hours into day one of free agency. We were going to get the breakdown of Lonnie Johnson Jr. going back and forth between returning to the Texans or returning to the Saints. And I saw the numbers reported on that it was $2.5 million. So I think the Saints probably wanted him back really close to veteran minimum, and they weren't going to go over that. Kind of makes me think it will be the same case for the two guys next to him, Jonathan Abram and Ugo Amadi. But if a guy's going to get paid double the veteran minimum, the Saints are pinching pennies right now.
Yeah, the two guys that are gone, I mean, I think we can comfortably say that Zach Bond was just a failed experiment, a major miss. You know, I don't think losing him is a major loss. I don't think he really had a fit. I don't think he really had a fit going forward. They kind of wedged him in there last year. I think you're better off getting somebody that fits what you're doing. The problem is that they drafted this guy. They traded up for him to draft him.
They used 2 third-round
picks. And they never figured out how to use him. So, well, I think it's probably better to move on if you can replace him. The fact that he was ever here and never had a role, I think, is a major, major miss. Failed experiment. It's one of their bigger misses in outside of the first round in recent years, to be totally honest. You know, Lonnie Johnson.
You what, though, if he follows the long line of linebackers that we didn't think we cared about on the way out, like Alex Anzalone, A.J. Klein, Caden Ellis.
Well, he's going to a 3-4 team, so he's going to fit there. They are a 3-4 team.
It could turn into a comp pick.
Yeah, definitely could. But, like, I think he's going to go somewhere. I think he's going to be better. People are going to hate it. But it's, like, the system. Like, he's going somewhere where they have a vision for him. They didn't have a vision for him here.
Exactly.
So, yeah, if he goes somewhere and succeeds, you should hate it. Because, like, it just should – I still don't understand the whole – I don't know.
Why
did
they like him in the first place?
At that value.
Was clearly no fit for him in the defense they liked.
Makes no sense to me.
Like, I'll tell you what, though, is interesting. Here's a question we posed a few times. We've talked a lot this offseason. Jeff Ireland talked about it. Dennis Allen has talked about it. They started using him more as that outside linebacker type edge rusher that hasn't normally had a place in this defense. And they say, no, we realize we need to find ways to get more speed into our pass rush. And now they're not re-signing Zach Bond. So you think there's any chance they pay real money for that or use a real draft pick on somebody who's doing it even more often than Bond did it last year?
Well, I mean, you want more of a defensive end. You want someone that's a defensive end. He's still an undersized guy.
I mean the actual, like, the 6'2", 240 guy that they've never liked around here. Do you think they're actually going to add a real one?
They'd be open to it, but I don't think it's that. Like, I think they had him rushing with his hand down a lot of times.
Yeah.
So, like, he's still kind of playing that. Like, I don't think they're going to shift to, like, a 3-4 or anything like that.
No,
but I think you can get a faster guy off the edge, and I think it is something they want to do. I mean, I think if you go look at the guys in the first round, they aren't 6'2", 240. They're 6'4", 240. And I think that's probably what they're going to end up going for, and I think that fits a little bit better with what they want to do. But the vision for that, like, it just never – like, it was supposed to be, like more hybrid early on, and it never was. Like, I just don't understand. Like, I would love to know. I would love to get my hands on, like, the draft report to know exactly what they were projecting to.
I can't remember if it was on the record or off the record, but I very specifically remember being told that their long-term vision for him was at Mike. which I thought was crazy after he had like 15 sacks as an edge rusher at Wisconsin. They're like, we see Mike in this guy. I mean,
yeah, the movement skills. Yeah, they kept talking about that. Yeah, absolutely.
But then again, they were already preparing for life after DeMario Davis. And 4 years later, DeMario Davis isn't going anywhere. So,
yeah. Yeah, look, Lonnie Johnson going too. I think that's a little bit of a hit. They wanted to keep him. They liked him. I think that was a really good find by the team. I think they did a really good job. These three guys on the bottom of the screen, Lonnie Johnson, Jonathan Abram, and Ugo. I think they did a really, really good job of scouting bargain basement guys. Mm-hmm. I don't think that you need to go out and pay them, though. I mean, like, if they're beyond your value, you just kind of got to let them go.
Find the next one. And I get it. And yeah. They're visiting with Avante Maddox now, who could possibly be the next one.
And Tyron had a great quote on that. He's like, lose dogs every year, develop new dogs or something like it. Train new dogs. I mean, that's just kind of is what it is, yeah. But, again, I think the door is open for all these guys to come back at the right price. I think they'd welcome Jameis back at the right price. I just think that Mike Thomas is, you know, walking out that door, and I think that he wants to go somewhere else, and I think that's probably what it's going to be. I think they're probably ready to find – I think it's just ran its course there, and that happens.
One more thing that's interesting to note on Andres Pete, unless I'm missing a loophole in the Saints' contracts, which I very well could be and always could be, I think there's some incentive for them to try to get a deal done with him before Wednesday at 3 p.m. to avoid having any dead money ever at the cap. So I don't think he's a guy they wait out till week two of free agency.
Any of these guys with voids, the benefit of doing that, like you get the new deal in place and you can keep the voids at bay. They don't accelerate.
Right, but I don't know that they have the luxury of waiting a couple weeks on.
No, it has to be before the voids and he becomes a free agent. So that whatever that void date is, and it would be the start of the league year, you want to get it done before then, so that you aren't paying the dead money on top of whatever the contract is. And, all right. That's going to do it for the first half of the show. We're going to hit another break here, about 90 seconds. Our wonderful sponsors are going to speak to you. They're going to help us pay our bills. They're going to keep supporting our show. So support them because they support us, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Are you tired of renting and ready to own your dream home? Contact Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union, your trusted source for home loans. Our competitive rates and flexible terms can help make your home ownership dreams a reality. If you're a first-time home buyer or looking to refinance, our experienced lenders are here to help. Our online application process allows you to apply on your schedule. It's quick, easy, and convenient. Visit us online at jeffersonfinancial.org to learn more. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.
Martin Wine and Spirits is home to a selection of hand-picked barrel select bourbon, whiskeys, and much, much more. They are family-owned and operated since 1946 and specialize in wine, spirits, gourmet food, gift baskets, catering, and tasting events. They have many locations, so they're never too far away. You can check them out in Metairie, New Orleans, Mandeville, and Baton Rouge, or if it's more convenient, you can always shop online. Whether you're a wine novice or a seasoned collector, you'll enjoy the Martin Wine and Spirit experience. All right, welcome back to New Orleans.football presented by PJ's Coffee. Make sure you get every day started with them and drive there in a car that you buy from Matt Bowers at one of his many dealerships. Top-notch customer service at all of them, best prices you can find. All right, our next topic is presented by Hardhide Punchatool Strawberry Whiskey. We just finished our series ranking the Saints' top needs in order on New Orleans.football this morning. If you aren't signed up for the site, do that right now. Use the code NOF, save 20% on your first payment. Get all of our, I guess, free agency coverage when it starts and everything else that you need to know about the team leading up into the draft. You're going to have all your draft coverage, everything. We're on it all day, 24/7. Got everything you need there. But defensive line was our number one need in that series because of their need to improve the pass rush, their run defense, and to get younger across the line. Let's just run through the players expected to turn across the line and discuss how much we think they can contribute in 2024 alongside any newcomers. We got Cam Jordan, age 34, signed through 2025. Carl Granderson, who's 27, signed through 27. Kano Passanio, he's 29, signed through 24. Peyton Turner, 26, eligible for a draft fifth-year option for 2025.
I don't think they'll be picking
Isaiah Foskey, yeah, definitely probably not.
Basically he's heading into his last year.
Yeah. Isaiah Foskey is 23, signed through 26. Brian Brzee, who's 22, signed through 26. Nathan Shepard, who's 30, he's signed through 25. They just restructured him. Colin Saunders, age 27, signed through 2025. They need more guys here.
Yeah.
Big time, big time, big time.
Well, we've been talking about that a lot. And, this already happened today. Christian Wilkins, defensive tackle. Jonathan Grenard, Bryce Huff went quick. Za'Darius Smith went. He felt like a fallback option. A.J. Epenesa went. He felt like a fallback option. Marcus Davenport went. He felt like a fallback option. There's still a few guys left. I mean, some of them are old. Some of them don't really fit. I'm not huge into Josh Uche. I don't want a Jadeveon Clowney type. I don't know what the answer is, but I don't think they're going to sign a new DE1. Like, I don't think it's going to be – the new guy is going to be their best defensive end. I think the new guy is going to look a lot like a Colin Saunders or a Nathan Shepard type of signing, level of signing, unless they really surprise me. So it's time to start, you know, selling us a little on these. These guys are all playing. Like, they're rotating him maybe with a first-round draft pick, maybe with, you know, a solid free agent signing. But the hero answer to this position group is not coming through the door.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of feel like they're quickly approaching a situation where they might have to trade up in the first round of the draft. Like, it's a massive need. You have to address it. You don't want to spend the money. It's the whole Davenport theory that you need this player and you don't want to spend the money.
Or
you don't
the
have
year
the money
that
to spend
they
for him.
Really wanted two first-round picks, Olave and Penning, and one panned out and one didn't. But they decided draft is cheaper than free agency.
But if you want an answer, you have to go – you have to attack it. And it kind of feels like they're going to get backed into that. Like, it kind of feels like that might be the strategy. Because there's an awareness of how dire this is, like, within the building. Like, we've heard it. Like, it echoes. Like, they know. They're aware. They know they have to do it. We've also heard comments about you don't have to do everything in free agency. So if that's a must and they must address it and they don't find a way to address it, it kind of feels like that might be where it's going. And I don't know. Maybe you feel confident that someone's going to fall to 14, but I don't know if you can let this go. If you go into the draft, you don't have an answer. If you can be passive about what happens, because musical chairs, sometimes you don't get the chair. You know, you can say, oh, well, like, I'm going to beat this guy. He's got a limp. They're not going to do this. Like, and then all of a sudden, like, you end up there with the guy, you know, in the broken leg, beat you to the chair. Like, sometimes it doesn't work out how you expect. Like,
just
it can
like
just be like that.
Scarred memory from your childhood. or something?
No, like, but I'm just saying, like, you could think everything's lining up and then something unexpected happens. Like, it happens all the time.
There's nothing I hate more than needing something in the draft. It's the worst case scenario. Like I said, part of the reason why I like the idea of them drafting an offensive tackle is I feel like there's a chance they'll like multiple guys. Defensive end. I mean, there are three. There's Dallas Turner from Alabama. There's I have all the names
Verse.
Right. Jared Verse from Florida State and Leatu Latu from UCLA, who all could go in that range, and maybe you would only have to trade up a few spots to get them. And those guys would get me a little more excited about. I want Cam Jordan to be, you know, I want Carl Granderson to be my number two defensive end. I want Cam Jordan to be able to be more of a part-time defensive end. I want you know, the other guys to be maybes, maybe they pan out. I just want everyone one peg lower on this list. But if they end up drafting someone in round two or round three, then it's just Peyton Turner and Isaiah Foskey all over again. You can't count on them to help immediately. So you don't want to be reaching at that position.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. They got to figure something out, though. Like, this is the biggest issue on the team. And if you don't figure it out, you're in trouble. And then if you trade Marshawn and you go in there with this, like, that is crazy. That cannot be your plan. That cannot be your what you're trying to do. I hate the idea of trading up. I really do. I hate it.
I don't like using multiple picks to fill just one spot.
Like, if you're kind of trying to be more measured in free agency, giving up part of your future or your present, even, you know, if you're packaging that second with the first to go up, like, it's just kind of counterintuitive. But, you know, they're trying to be a competitive team, and sometimes I don't know. Maybe you have to compromise a little bit in one area so that you can be, you know, over here, do what you need to do. And now it's a year from now, you kind of go in with clean draft, clean cap, and that's how you're trying to do it. But if you're trying to get that reset and you need to fill it, this is kind of – it's starting to feel like the only – maybe there's an answer out there we don't see.
Right.
And that kind of quiets all this, like, immediately. But
well,
I don't think they can find a difference maker.
I mean, the one name on this list that counts as the – is Chase Young, and I'm so not sold on him, you know, unless they are. I mean, Leonard Williams isn't that old, but, I mean, otherwise you're getting into the Band-Aid solutions, you know. I mean, there could be other, like, young up-and-comers, the Zach Bond-level players that play defensive end that they're going to find. I mean, they're definitely going to make the pro personnel department earn their paychecks on this one, but the draft makes a lot more sense that they're going to put their eggs in the draft basket. Now, I will say this. The one rose-colored glasses or the one positive outlook at this is most of these guys on this list I think should make the team. Like Cam Jordan's going to be on the team. Carl Granderson, of course, should be on the team. He's one of the best players on their defense. Tano's a maybe, depending on what they get. I'm still hopeful Peyton Turner can give you something. I'm definitely still hopeful Isaiah Foskey can give you something. I'm definitely encouraged about Brian Brzee's future, and Nathan Shepard and Colin Saunders are these guys they just signed in free agency last year. They're heading into year two of three-year deals. So it's not that they don't have bodies. They just don't have a number one guy. And so that's why, like, I don't just want an eighth best player on this list or a fourth best player on this list. If I'm them, they've got guys that they can go to game day with. They need the upgrade. They need the alpha in this group. And so maybe that is the first round of the draft.
Yeah. I mean, Cam's obviously going to be on the team. The only ones that, you know, I feel like it's Cam, Granderson, and Foskey are the only ones that I feel like must.
Embrizzi,
they're the only ones that I think must be on the team. But yeah, I agree with you. Chase Young kind of feels like the other half of, like, you know, the Twix bar with Carl Granderson. Like, it's just they're kind of both the same, you know. And I want something a little bit elevated from that. Like, but if that's the approach and that's the way you have to go with it, at least it's better than nothing. Like, there's a path where you can say, all right, like, everything goes right, this might work. Like, you get good coverage, you got these guys. Brzee takes another step, like. Yeah, maybe it works. So at least that's something you can talk yourself into a little bit, but I don't like the conversation. Yeah. I don't want to talk myself into it. I want to, like, see it and be like, yeah, that's it.
I'm one player away from feeling much better about it, though. Like, if you list Dallas Turner along with this group, I like it so much better. So we're not saying they need four more guys or three more guys, but what we want for this group is a lot easier found than
and the thing is, yeah, and I don't even know if, like, a rookie DN comes in and changes the equation immediately. Yep. But at least you're looking at it and you're like, all right, like, this is going to work. It's going to be good. You got potential, all that stuff. So I still want the veteran and I still want the rookie. Like, I want it both. Yep. If you're telling me Peyton Turner's giving you nothing, you got to have both. If we can look into the future, we know Peyton Turner's going to be all right. Give me the rookie with Peyton Turner. Can't do that, though. That's not, you know, unfortunately, can't see into the future. All right. One thing you can see, though, always is a trip to Martin's Wine and Spirits. That is always a good time, a good place to go. They got a great deli there. Martin's, home to a wide selection of handpicked barrel select bourbon, whiskeys, and more. Martin's, so much more than just wine.
Real quick before, just after that segment, I'm seeing both Leonard Williams and Yeter Gross Matos deals coming in. So the defensive line is being swallowed up in day one of the legal tampering period.
No doubt about it. Time for the Martin's question of the day. Martin's is home to a wide selection of handpicked barrel select bourbon, whiskeys, and more. Martin, so much more than just wine. Was Alante Taylor a luxury pick, or were the Saints planning to replace Lattimore / Adebo? You go first.
You don't have to choose one or the other. I'll take a cornerback with the 40th pick in the draft every year, no matter what my future looks like. I mean, they didn't know what Paulson Adebo was going to be yet at that time. And actually, we went into training camp last year thinking that was going to be a neck-and-neck 50-50 battle that we thought Alante Taylor might win. And Adebo ended up winning it. Now all of a sudden Marshawn Lattimore is on the trade block. I mean, I guess you could say luxury pick. I don't think they, like, said we're drafting him and he's starting in year three and we're trading Marshawn Lattimore that year. But you draft good corners, so you have those options.
Yeah, I don't think it's a luxury. I mean, look, at some point you always got to move on. I think they kind of viewed Alante as someone that could potentially play in the slot. And maybe he still gets there. I think if he were to view that as, like Jalen Ramsey viewed it as, like, a challenge, and he embraced it, and he took it, and he became great at it. And I think if Alante kind of grabs it the same way, and I think we started to hear from him late last season that he was looking at it that way. It took him a little bit to kind of change his mentality. It was a built, like, he viewed it as a demotion at first. He wasn't, like, no question, super kind of into it at the beginning, and then it hit a point where things started clicking. He started feeling better about it. He started liking it. I think if he goes into it thinking, I'm going to be the best slot corner in the league, I think he becomes a lot better at that position. So it could still be he's there, the other two guys are there. But I do think also getting guys into the pipeline and you see an opportunity, man, it doesn't matter. Like, when people talk about best player available and stuff, like, that's it. Like, when you say you want them to do that, that's it. And then sometimes people move on and you push them out. You know, if they're at a spot too where there's a potential breaking point with Debo and Lattimore, so having somebody else that's at least taking one of the two allows, you know, you some options. So I don't think it was a luxury pick. That's a spot where you always need people. There's a way to get them all on the field. I do think, though, that if everybody's back and he's in the slot, like, I do think objectively that has to improve a little bit, though. Like, that's a spot that just the zone coverage in that spot, I think, just needs to become a little bit more natural, comfortable. But if he's going into the offseason knowing that's his role, he's doing that, and he's practicing it the whole time, and it's not – he's competing at one all through July and August, and then in September it's a switch. So it should be better next year. Hopefully that takes care of itself. But, yeah, I don't see it like that at all.
I think the only reason that Alante Taylor's in the slot right now is because he's their third-best corner.
Yeah.
If he was their first or second-best corner, he'd be playing outside. And that's a bad thing for the Saints if he gets promoted to second-best corner on the team because they lose Marshon Lattimore. But I think it would be a good thing for him if he's on the outside. If he's the third-best corner, then he keeps playing inside. So, you know, it's not quite like the not having a plan for Zach Bond. Part of the reason they liked him is his versatility, and they figured wherever he fits best, he could do it, and that's why they've taken upon this challenge. But I think they view him as an asset, and I think we view him as you know, not enough young talent on this team, and he's one of the ones that can be part of the future.
It's weird. Like, over the last 10 years, 11 years, you know, they've only had good coverage in the slot, like, a few times. Like, it was when Patrick Robinson was in there. Bradley Roby, I think, was solid at it. And outside of that, like, their coverage.
Well, C.J. Gardner-Johnson had his, especially against Tampa Bay. Like
he made plays.
Yeah, yeah.
He made some plays. I mean, but, like, consistent.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he was a dynamic player. But, like, I'm not – yeah, I don't think – you know, look, he's – you know, he's bounced around a little bit for I think that reason. I think that's part of it. He's solid, though. I mean, they've had solid players, but, like, I think, you know, there's been a couple times where it's been elevated, and it's just kind of a weird thing spanning two coordinators. Like, it's just not a spot where they've consistently had, like, outstanding top tier, like top third of the league type coverage where, you know, they have at other spots at cornerback. It's just kind of interesting. I don't know if something about it just kind of hasn't been worth it or what, but, like, the investment there just kind of isn't necessarily, you know, something that's highly, highly prioritized. Alante's second-round pick, I think that was probably the biggest move toward it we've seen in a while. Kenny Vaccaro gave him some good stuff early in his career, and then it kind of was sporadic after that. So it's just kind of been inconsistent. CJ gave him some good stuff. It was sporadic outside of that. Like, it's just really been an inconsistent position overall. But we'll see what they do in free agency here over the next couple of days. We're going to have all your coverage on New Orleans.football. We'll be back with another show on Wednesday. I feel like we stuck the landing here. Did the Martins read twice? They get the clean social. They get the clean social media clip.
I realized afterwards.
You had a great interjection. We get to clip it. We get to post it. no fan theories about that one. That's what happened. So that's why we did it. All right. We'll see you next time.